whenever I see a great film or experience a wonderfully moving worship service, just like every week here, of course, or read a good book, which I don't do too often, but I do read books. Anybody else read books? And you read them because you like to, because I didn't see any students raise their hands. But I feel like telling someone else when I've had a good experience like that, a good experience with a movie or, you know, at church or whatever it is. And so I'm apt to heartily gush to someone else about something that I've experienced, whatever it is that was appealing to me. I don't think that I say something like, if you don't experience this, your life will be just not worthwhile. But I like to share what's been important to me or what's moved me. I call that kind of sharing bubbling. Do you ever bubble? Yeah, you bubble. There's just something that you've got to tell. And sometimes bubbling situations aren't positive, of course. You ever had something that you had to tell that you really ought not to have told? Okay, gossiping lesson over right there. But bubbling, it's this thing that we do when we're so excited to share some news that we've experienced. Not news that we've gotten second or third hand, but news that we've experienced something exciting about whatever it is. And, you know, I've had lots to bubble about over my life. I've had lots of opportunities to share my opinions on a variety of topics. Pastors love to do that. We become pastors because we like to hear ourselves speak. All the rest of you are like, well, I could become a pastor too. I like to hear myself speak. Like, maybe that's not a necessary trait for a preacher, but a lot of us are that way. But as a preacher, though, I don't think I've ever run into a situation where I wasn't allowed to bubble. I wasn't allowed to share an experience or share an opinion. Sometimes I've held back opinions because it's just in good taste. You know, you don't always say everything that's on your mind. For instance, you say, that's a beautiful baby, right? Every time. Or as Johnny Carson used to say, if you just can't say that, you say, yes, that is a baby, you know, like that. There are times where your bubbling can be tempered a little bit and going into a different direction. But I don't think that I've ever had a situation as a preacher, as a person, whatever it is, where I've been forbidden to speak. You can't say that. I wonder, have you ever felt silenced? Have you ever felt like you were forbidden to speak about something? And I mean something of substance, but not like, you know, don't talk with your mouth full. But where you felt like you couldn't say what was on your mind because you kind of had the reins tightened there. I don't know. I don't feel like I've had that. I also don't feel like I've experienced a situation where others were speaking for me. Maybe you have before. But I wonder if I was faced with a reality like that, where somebody could speak for me and someone could tell me what to say and what not to say, at least issue an authority where that was the rule, if I'd be able to gush about Jesus' love and God's extravagant welcome for everyone. Because isn't that what the apostles were doing? And isn't that what the religious leaders were telling them not to do? And isn't that what the apostles said, but we have to. We have to obey God rather than human authority. That's Acts 5:27-32. They stood before the high priest and they flat out refused to submit to that authority. And these religious authorities, they were jealous about what was going on. The apostles were preaching and people were arriving. People were coming and being moved. People were being healed. People who couldn't see could see. People who couldn't walk could walk. People who were sick were better. Things were getting out of hands and the priests didn't want to lose control. So they said, stop it. Stop teaching in his name. And the apostles weren't about to stop. They had to follow God instead of the priests. And then, you know, in the events just after here, it's not in the reading today, but there was a progressive and highly respected rabbi. His name is Gamaliel. And the rest of the crowd, after Peter said, we have to talk. We can't not talk. They sent them out. And they took a vote and said, kill him. get rid of them. This has got to stop. And Gamaliel came up and he said, listen, do you remember there's a couple cases of a couple others who have come up and they had an uprising, they had a following, and look what happened. This one died, and this one just sort of fed and, you know, just faded into the background, and their movements never amounted to anything. But if these apostles are from God, it's not going to die out by killing them. And two, do you want to risk incurring the wrath of God by killing them and making it even worse for us? I say that we don't do anything. If it's from God, it's going to last. And if it's not from God, it's going to die out. The liberal rabbi. So actually what happened was the apostles were flogged. They had angered the priests, and so that was worthy. You know, they were kind of rude, so they were angered the priests, they were flogged, and they were sent out, and they said, don't do this anymore. And of course, they didn't listen, but they weren't killed for it either. There had to be at least some saving face of the priests. The apostles still, though, even after being flogged, even after risking death, they had to obey God rather than any human authority. What do you think about that? This obeying God rather than human authority. Does it feel like what the church is? Does it feel like being in church? Are we defying church authority, or are we defying government authority by meeting here? I don't think we're taking too many risks by doing anything here. Too many risks like that. You know, it seems like a no-brainer. We follow God. If any human authority does tell us, though, that we can't follow God, then we have to follow God rather than any human authority. However, sometimes it's difficult to know what is that? What is following God instead of human authority? What about when God tells people to do things, and tells, kind of in quotes, tells people to do things that are in conflict with what others think God is telling them? We see that in politics all the time, and that's where we start fighting. It's not just about church music and money. It's about politics too, right? Things that we can fight about. What about things like prayer in public schools? If we decide that we want to have prayer in public schools, are we obeying God rather than human authority? Are we defying God rather than human authority? Or the Ten Commandments in courthouses? When we protest that, is that something like obeying God rather than human authority? Is support for things like that an example of that? We don't have the right answer there, but it's something to think about. And what about politics in general? One group of people from a church supports one candidate, while another group from the same church supports the other. Right here in the same building. Right here in the same church. We're all following God. How come we don't agree on things like that? Can we pull out something like we are voting to obey God rather than human authority in that situation? And to which side does it apply if we do that? And when things do go our way, and we say, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no other authority except from God, and these authorities that exist have been instituted by God, are we saying the opposite of we must obey God rather than human authority? Because that's probably what we'll say if someone's in office that we don't agree with. Can pull out religion there. And, you know, here it gets a little controversial. If 51% of the people think one thing and we agree with it, will we call that? It's a mandate. God has issued a mandate for our country. And if 51% of the people think a different thing, will we say, well, that's just a narrow majority of the people that think that. It's not really a mandate. And do we pull things out like that and try to press our religion down that and say that we are obeying God rather than human authority? Kind of on our own agenda instead of on God's agenda. How do we know when we're doing what God wants instead of molding God to what we want? I don't have the full answer to those, but let me give you some guidelines that have been helpful to me. I hope that none of the next three kind of feel like church. Let me just say them. If you ever think that obeying God includes hurting yourself or others, it's time to think differently. Even though sometimes we make mistakes. But if you think that, it's time to think differently. If you ever think that obeying God includes manipulating, marginalizing, or exploiting anyone, then it's time to think again. If you think that obeying God means doing anything that violates those two most important commandments, to love God and to love one another, it's time to think differently. But then it can get stickier, because this one's a little bit different. If you ever think that obeying God means standing up for justice and love for all people, then you're in good company. Like Moses before Pharaoh. Like John the Baptist before Herod. Like Paul before the Sanhedrin. Martin Luther before Charles V. Reinhold Niebuhr during World War II before the Nazis. Martin Luther King before any who would deny civil rights to people based on skin color or cultural backgrounds. You're in good company with someone that we haven't heard of yet, or maybe not a little bit, a man named Morgan Tsvangirai. He's the founder of the Movement for Democratic Change in Zimbabwe, who just last month was severely beaten and jailed because he had organized peaceful protests and has said publicly, "I only seek a new dispensation in my country in which citizens live freely in prosperity and not in perpetual fear of their own rulers." When we see Christ's love and when we see justice anywhere, that's where I hope that it feels like church. The church that says Jesus is risen and Jesus will come again and Jesus comes into our hearts and Jesus is our Savior and Jesus gives us love and tells us to love God and to love one another. I hope that's what feels like church when we see Christ's love and justice anywhere. So this week, I'd like to offer a couple of things to try. First, in relationship to the first part of the sermon about telling someone a great experience. Every time this week when you have a great experience that you want to share with somebody, whether it's a movie or a book or, you know, your baby is walking or whatever it is, tell that. But also, share something that moves or excites you about following Jesus. And that's hard to do, I know. And it sounds so religious to do too. But you can share something like, "You know what I like about following Jesus? Following Jesus means I get to work on loving people instead of hating people." You know, that might be something exciting. Share something that moves or excites you about being part of the church. If you don't consider yourself a person who follows Jesus, and you know what? Everyone's welcome here. I don't know the background of everyone here. If you don't think that you're a follower of Jesus, but you come to church because you come to church. A similar challenge. Instead of sharing something that moves you or excites you about being a follower of Jesus, ask someone who you know does follow Jesus, what excites them, what moves them about following Jesus. Ask them what it is that draws them to be part of a church. And then ask yourself, what is it that draws you to be part of a church? That's the first thing. Now the second thing, think of two or three significant opinions or preferences that you have about anything, religious or political. Write them down somewhere. And then spend some time just contemplating whether those ideas violate or abide by those basic guidelines that I've talked about so many times already. Pay closest attention to the one about the two most important commandments. We know them, right? Let's say them together. Love God and love one another. And I know I come back to those all the time. I'm stuck on those two, love God and love one another. It's just that those two, in relationship to everything, they are so important, they are so foundational that I just can't help it. Let's pray. God, thank you for filling us with your love. Help us to share that love with everyone. Help us to share what excites us, what moves us about following you, about being part of a faith community. Thank you for giving us so much. Amen.